Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels with
up?
You.
What's up, Johnny?
Happy Friday, everybody. By the way, it is an OTA today. It's OTA numero seis, if I'm not mistaken.
Halfway.
It's kind of going on right now, or at least we'll start in about 10 or 15 minutes. So I might close the show a little bit early, depending on how many callers are on the line, so I can get out to practice and I can give you my news and notes from practice story that I've been writing on the website over the past couple of weeks. So just keep that in mind, a little programming note, and that's why we're on early as well at 11 a.m. I know we kind of throw you guys for a loop with this stuff. Just hang with us. We're only going to have a couple more shows like this based on when practice is going on. Yeah. So, you know, this. We want to be out there at practice to tell you guys what's happening. If we're doing the show while practice is happening, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of the exercise. So,
well, before I came on the show, I was watching some practice.
Yeah.
The specialists were out there.
There are a couple guys out there.
Rojas.
Jeff locking in on the long snappers.
And the kicker, which I tell you, I continue to tell you guys that I think that this, I think he's the real deal.
Well, let me tell you, from watching him in the first week of practice, he was 8-for-8 on kicks in practice. He kicked a bunch of 30, 40s, and then a couple 50-yarders. And the 50-yarders made it with room to spare.
Way more.
So he's going to be able to kick through wind. He's going to kick the ball out of the end zone on kickoffs.
Very
he's going to kick 50-something-yard field goals. The only thing we don't know, and we're not going to know this until preseason games.
And even then, you don't really know.
How he's going to do when the lights are on and there are fannies in the seats and the nerves are up. As you know, Jeff, in golf, you can knock balls in the driving range all day long.
Yeah.
But when you get in front of that tee, you have no idea where that ball's going.
Well, I think that you have to put a little credence in his work ethic and what he does on the field and actually see. When you're watching punters and kickers, you look at their consistency, how the football comes off their feet or their foot. They don't kick it with both feet. But that's what you kind of look at. You look at the way the ball is coming off his foot. And I'm just out there today watching him. Very steady. Very steady. So when you have a kicker that all of a sudden he hits two balls down the middle and then one kind of fades to the left, the next one fades to the right, that's a little bit – you got to throw caution there. His balls are kicking. They're straight. So I like what I see. He's very strong. And the one thing you are going to see is kickoffs will just go blazing through the end zone. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him going through the goalposts off the kickoff, which sometimes you do. Remember there was a rule proposed? Remember the kickoff of him went through the goalpost? Where they got to, instead of going to the 25, mm-hmm. they went to the 20?
I like that idea.
I actually liked it, but whatever. So anyway, so that's kind of the pregame of the practice of the OTA today. We got to see at least I did the specialist. But, you know, I personally haven't been out to watch a lot of the practices, but just read about what's going on. Sounds good. I mean, I think that the defense is where we thought it was going to be. I read your little column about the competition that's there with the receivers and the defensive backs, which I think is always a good competition, especially now because of that defensive backfield that the Giants have and the new receivers with Brandon Marshall and guys like that. So it's exciting to see competition and the pace of play. That is something if you're a young guy and you come into these OTAs and being a pro now, you understand how things get done. And these guys are now, it's not new to them anymore. They've been going to OTAs and meetings and lifting and all the other stuff. So now they understand this is how the National Football League works. This is how it gets done. We're working with the veterans. We kind of see how they do. They're learning from them. A lot of stuff going on to get ready for that preseason and training camp coming up sooner than you think.
Nope.
I mean, it is blazing by. It's already June 2nd. Kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is amazing. It is June 2nd. I mean, it is going quick.
Especially after watching the NBA playoffs. I mean, is that really fun to watch? I mean,
you know, they are. They're not this year.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's been so disappointing. And I thought maybe we'd get at least a couple of good games out of this finals. But
maybe,
now I'm worried that's not going to happen.
Maybe. I'm
hoping the Cavs can at least steal a couple of games from Golden State.
I mean, I'm actually starting to watch hockey more because basketball has just been so bad on TV. So
hockey's in the they're in the Stanley Cup Finals now, right?
They are, yeah. Pittsburgh is now. They have to go down to Nashville.
What's the series?
2-0.
Nashville's up or Pittsburgh's
up?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won their first two games at home, and now they're going to Nashville.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Folks, when I say I don't pay attention to hockey, I don't lie. I don't pay attention to hockey.
To be honest with you, I don't pay attention to hockey that much, but I like playoff hockey, and I'm when there's nothing – I know you are. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I know you are. So I would rather watch hockey than I would watch basketball. That's crazy to say.
Absolutely. One other thing I want to ask you about. I thought this was kind of motivated by something that Bob Papa was talking about on the Sirius show this morning with former Giants offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. When you were playing, and I'll start with the Giants part of your career first.
most
as a player, who is your like biggest rival or villain on another team player wise? That I was like, boy, this guy kills us. I can't stand him. And
DeSean Jackson.
That was it?
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously, for me, it's a little bit different than Jeff Schwartz because there's, you know,
of course,
there's 16 other guys he has to worry about during the season, you know, being a defensive tackle or a defensive end. But for me, it's one guy and one guy only. It's the returner. And DeSean Jackson seemed to be, because we played him twice a year. You know, there was a Devin Hesters and those guys of the world, but, you know, we're only playing them maybe once every 4 years. But the fact is that when you got a guy like DeSean Jackson in your division who is a playmaker, he drove me crazy. And I'll tell you what, the guy from the day he was a rookie, I remember the first game we ever played, he does not shut up. He's just a yapper and a yapper and a yapper. He's jaws and jaws. And you just get tired of it. But the fact is the guy, he backs it up. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's the guy that I could not stand. And he, and I had, you know, not that I ever feared him, but I definitely knew that I, if I got the ball in his hands, he would definitely make something happen. So,
how about going back in your career? Some of the other guys
Yep, a good question. I think that Brian Mitchell was one.
Okay.
That when I was in, that's when.
He didn't have a big mouth, though, right? He was just really
good,
right?
No, he was just good.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's when the Cardinals were in the NFC East. So Brian was playing for the Redskins at that point in time. So he was really, really a guy that was scary. But that's probably the one guy going back that I remember. You know, there wasn't a lot of guys. I think Brian Mitchell was probably the first one that kind of started to just be a returner. You know, he did play a little bit of running back, but you know, going back when I played, there was just there was no true returner. It was a receiver or a cornerback or somebody like that. You know, unless it was Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Anybody have a really big mouth that you couldn't stand besides DeSean over the years?
Not really. No. I think he was the one guy. Now remember, I played in, you know, three decades in football, so I did have to kick to Deion Sanders. He was another guy that was very scary to kick to. Yeah,
how many times did you have to kick to him when he was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
he was scary. I kicked to him in Florida State when I was with Miami too. I mean, that's when prime time was prime time. You know, that was the beginning of prime time. Very talented and very scary. And again, he's a yapper, but he never yapped to me. Yeah, it's funny. What was Schwartz's comment?
He didn't really ask him specifically about you know, when he was at the Giants and things like that. It was kind of more like just the villains in the league right now.
Oh, the villains in the league.
You know, okay. So, you know, a couple guys like Vontaze Burfict got brought up.
Of course. Yeah.
DeSean Jackson did get brought up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Adam DeConsu.
Absolutely.
With his
dirty
stomping.
Yeah.
They went back into the past. You know, Albert Haynesworth, who kind of did the same type of thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, guys like that, they kind of just went through it, like who that kind of, you know, Michael Irvin.
Porter.
Big Mouth. Joey Porter, that's a good one. Brian Cox, somebody called up and brought him up.
Oh,
James Harrison back in the day.
Brian Cox was he could yap, man. And he was, dirty.
James Harrison back in the day. You know, they had a real good list of guys. Now, here's a kind of building on that, kind of where I want to go with this. Because I was thinking about this with a couple guys upstairs, and I thought it was an interesting question. In terms of division, NFC East only now, rivals, who would you think would be number one on Giants fans' list for guys that they can't stand?
Cowboys.
Player.
Player? Oh, wow.
Do you know why? I think last year or even 2 years ago, it would have been Romo, hands down. Finished. Conversation over. Or DeSean Jackson, because he was with the Redskins and the Eagles. Now, both those guys no longer in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Little more interesting now.
Who is the guy now?
Yeah. I mean, you would logically say just based on tenure, Jason Witten. But I think fans have a lot of respect for him. I don't sense necessarily the vitriol for him, even though he's a very good player and
but
he kills the team.
I think the fans had a lot of respect for Romo, too. I mean, they just didn't like him per se, but I think they respected
him.
Yeah,
but I think there was a big number of Giant fans that was, oh, he's a choke artist. And people give him too much credit.
Okay.
I don't think they had that same idea with Witten. In my opinion, that's my feel for it. If I had to pick somebody, I would probably have to say Dez Bryant. You know, he's kind of a yapper. You know, he's flamboyant. He says a lot of stuff. I can't put Zeke Elliott or Dak Prescott in there yet because they beat them both times they played them last year. Until that player beats you, you can't really dislike him that much.
To the list.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I got to agree with you on Dez Bryant. I think I was just going through my mind. I'm going Redskins, you know, Cowboys.
No one else really jumps out, right?
Here's a good question for you, and maybe the fans might have an answer to this too. What if we switched it around? What if you're on another team, which player on the Giants do you think would be their villain?
13.
Guy? Yeah.
Come on. That's easy.
I mean, that's an easy one.
He's so good.
Is, yeah. Aside from him, who else would you think? I mean, there's not many guys that talk that much, right?
I mean,
Jason Pierre-Paul doesn't – he's not a –
like,
yapper.
Back in the day, it could have been Brandon Jacobs. He always had something to say during the week.
There is no question that Brandon Jacobs would be on that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no question.
And you know what? He would want to be on that list too, by the way.
I think Entrell Roll would be a guy that, you know, that some people, because he –
yeah,
you know,
maybe.
You know, I mean, listen, he talked a lot, but he made sense a lot too.
Plex back in the day?
Oh, no question.
He wouldn't mind saying stuff?
No, he's probably
like,
on that list.
Victor never said anything, no. Nick's never really said anything.
I think Brandon Jacobs wins. He's definitely on the list number one. You know, when I look at some other guys, I'll tell you another guy that may surprise you is that Luke Pettigrew might be on that list as far as
– from a player perspective.
Yes.
Luke was a yapper, huh?
A yapper and mean and dirty and yeah.
Oh, you know who else is on that list? Shockey.
Oh yeah, we forget about Shockey. That's right.
He would definitely be on that list, right?
This reminds me. Yesterday, I was listening to radio and they were kind of bringing up the most embarrassing moments for the Mets, and I could not believe how many people could up with as much stuff as they did. As I was driving for 30 minutes, there must have been 30 embarrassing moments for the Mets. I mean, it's kind of got along that line. This isn't embarrassing stuff, but you know, you just brought up Shockey after 5 minutes of talking this. You forget about these guys. What about Tiki? Would Tiki be one of those guys? You know? I mean, there's a lot of them. Good question. Good pondering here. You can go back and try to figure it out. But I'm trying to think any of the guys earlier in my career when I was with Coach Fossil was here. You know, that was a pretty good bunch of characters on that team.
Would Strahan get on people's nerves?
I think Strahan would definitely get on people's nerves. But you know what? Strahan could talk.
He's a Hall of Famer. He earned it.
He could talk the trash, and he played. And I think part of his game was his talk. Really, think about it. I mean, he would when they have him mic'd up, you see all this all the time. You know, you're gonna have a long day. You know, whatever they were saying, but I think it was.
You know, but there's really no one on Philadelphia. They've turned everything over so much. What, Fletcher Cox? I mean, does he gets you upset? I mean, Malcolm Jenkins, maybe. I mean, all the offensive guys are young and new. I mean, Darren Sproles has killed the team, but
he doesn't talk. You know,
no.
I mean,
Kirk Cousins, nobody cares. I mean, Pierre Garçon, he's not there anymore.
But
so
I guess
you gotta
clarify. Okay, so why do you not like the guy? Is it because he's a trash talker, or is it because he's a really good player?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think the player has to be good. Because if the player was bad, they wouldn't be good enough that you would not care about
them. Yeah, I agree.
I think at some point they would have had to have beaten you and done really well against you to dislike them. And then number three, I think the icing on the cake is that they got a big mouth.
Well, I think that – I actually almost think that Kirk Cousins is the guy that people don't like because he is a talker. He talks a lot of trash.
He talks more trash to like his own GM and owner, though, than to other teams, doesn't he?
Right. What did he say? How do you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Jordan Reed's another guy that comes up, but I don't see much yap out of him. But, man, he can play. You don't like him.
Well, folks, what do you think? Give us a call, 201-939-4513.
I would love to hear some of your ideas here.
Let's go to Joel in Charlotte and see what he has to say. He's our first caller on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hey, Joel, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
Oh, I just saw it on the screen who you're going to talk about, and you're spot on.
I can't believe you guys.
I know. See, that's what I'm saying. That's why we like the caller.
Do you know why, Joel? And it's funny. I still don't think of him as a division guy. You know what I mean? I think of him as a Panther. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
No, I get that, but with the rivalry with Odell, I mean, it's like his trash talking. It just goes beyond. Just
there's
the
no question. He is number one, and I don't know how you missed it. I would miss that, John. You should not.
I think of him as a Panther. That's why.
He played for the Redskins.
Guys, I got one more though. Like, and this is like kind of like older guy.
Yeah.
I always hated Jeremiah Trotter. He always
had
good games against us.
Well,
you hate him. I absolutely always hated him.
Let me tell you something. Nobody on this phone call or in this room or in this building right now has stronger feelings for Jeremiah Trotter than Jeff Eagle. So before you go,
and I've stay
on the line. For the fans that maybe don't remember or don't know, tell the Jeremiah Trotter
story,
please.
Well, just go to YouTube and just put in Jeff Eagles, Jeremiah Trotter. That will tell you the story. I won't bore you with the details.
Oh, no, I want the details. Bring it. What do you got?
All right, so this was first or second game of the season. I don't remember what year it was, but I had a punt. DeSean Jackson was on the team. We just talked about him. I kicked a beautiful kick, a yard from the sideline, not thinking that DeSean Jackson was going to return this ball. But sure enough, he did. And Jeremiah Trotter, before the punt, was on the right-hand side of the line. He came in, tried to block it, obviously didn't, and then he flanked out to the left side. Well, the punt went right, and as I was running to the right, and DeSean Jackson decided to
cut back,
return and go this way, and when I went down, I got a little too far up into the football game. I usually like to stay within 40 yards of the play, but I was maybe 20. There was Jeremiah Trotter, and Jeremiah Trotter basically took his helmet and went like this right here, okay? See it on YouTube. And the next thing I know, I saw Ronnie Barnes, the head trainer. I looked up, and he was standing over me. And this
you blacked out.
Yes, this was way before, obviously, concussion protocol. I was out cold. And to be honest with you, I evidently passed whatever test it was, but I went back in the game. And, you know, from that point on, I don't even remember playing the rest of the game. I only remember it because I saw it on film the next day. But it was – that was – yeah. So, Jeremiah Trotter, one of the guys I do not like. Knocked me
all
out
right, guys,
cold.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Hey, that was a great –
thanks,
that was a good call.
Appreciate
too. Josh Norman, man, how did we not come up with that one?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Anyways.
And by the way, Dave Dominic put a nice tweet, a nice link up here too. Remember, Dez and Janoris Jenkins had their little Twitter battle too over the offseason. So
that's right.
That as the Giants get ready for that Week 1 game against Dallas, I could see that becoming
I don't see fans, maybe just because he's a Giant, but I don't see fans disliking Janoris Jenkins as a big talker. Do you?
I mean, no. I was thinking more just from Giant fans thinking about Dez Bryant, because I think Dez Bryant would. I, in my opinion, if I had to, and tell me if I'm wrong here, folks, that it would be. I agree. I think Josh Norman's one, and I think Dez would be number two. That would be my feel.
Come up with another one, somebody. That was a good call right there.
That was a good
one, Josh Norman. How did we miss that one? I mean, when we said Odell, don't they go hand in hand? And how about Josh Norman coming out a couple weeks ago and said, there's going to be fines, there are going to be people kicked out this year when I go against Odell and Dez.
And the thing about him, I think he understands that he's not as physically gifted as these guys. What was he, a sixth-round pick, fifth-round pick, whatever he was? And I think he honestly uses mental warfare to try to take these more – gifted players out of their game.
So his mental warfare now makes himself, in his mind, a first-round draft pick. That's probably what he thinks. Still a punk. But,
man. You know, it's funny. You know, taking a look at these practices, Jeff, and by the way, we have some open lines, folks, if you want to get in at 201-939-4513. Get in. We'll probably close the show a little bit early today, but we can take your calls until then. You can't really see line play, and I get that. But how much work do you really think these offensive linemen can get in, and how much can coaches determine how much progress or how much better a guy like Hart or Flowers has gotten from the offseason? I know I can't tell from watching, but can the coaches see enough from a technique perspective where they can maybe kind of figure it out?
Yeah.
Or is it really until August that we're not going to know anything?
Well, I think they can. I think because, number one, both on the field and in the classroom. So, you know, they're seeing it up front with their eyes, and then they go in and they see it on film. They can see a progression. If I'm a coach, I'm watching to see what you did last year, what we're teaching you now, and how better you got at certain techniques or fundamentals that we're teaching. You're not going to be able to tell about physicality. You're not going to be able to tell about toughness and all that kind of good stuff. But the fact is that they should be able to see progress. And you're not going to make the team in June. Okay, you're not even going to make the team in July. Okay, you got to be able to in August when things get closer and that training camp and those competition comes around. Right now, the coaches are trying to see where they're coming out of their off-season programs, how they're getting better, and moving forward to developing a depth chart. That's what this is all about right now. And, of course, installing the new system if there's plays and things like that. So to answer your question, I think that they can. I think the coaches are – any players are always being evaluated no matter what they're doing. And that's not a cliche. That is the truth. Every single day, those coaches are going to a staff meeting, and they talk about you, and they talk about me if we're on the team. Okay, what did John Schmelk do today? Well, you know what? He was outstanding. Yesterday, he was horrible. Today, he got better. That's what they talk about. Why were you bad yesterday? What happened? You know what I'm saying?
By the way, folks, I will apologize. If I at some point come off as incoherent today, I moved 2 days ago into our first house, which we were excited about, but I've gotten very little sleep, and I'm mentally and physically exhausted. So
I will carry the show today. That's okay. That's fine, John. You've carried the show many times when I felt the same way. Very often. I'm always full of energy, though.
So just a heads up that if I'm at some point incoherent today, that is why.
Hey, listen, that's a lot. I mean, a lot of the callers and viewers, they know. When you're moving into a new house, and especially you, who's the first time, a lot of new stuff. What do I do with this? How did I not think about this? What did we forget? What did you break? Did you break anything?
We've lost one wine glass so far.
That's not bad. That's not
bad. If that's all we lose, there's some stuff I can't find.
No. That was my next thing. You're gonna lose stuff that you can't find, if that's
– Now, will it eventually pop back up somewhere?
Yeah, 2 years.
Or will it just
– 2 years from now. You will be in the basement, and you'll move a box. You'll open it up, and you go, oh, Mike, are you kidding me? And the worst thing about that is that you went and replaced it and you bought it.
Right.
Now you have two.
I am really excited about having a garage for my golf clubs. I don't have to keep them in the house anymore. I don't have to keep them in the trunk of my car. I can actually just put my golf clubs in my enclosed garage.
That is what garages are for. You're not only going to put your golf clubs in there, you're going to put everything else that you – never been able to put anywhere else.
My snow shovel. Do you know my 500 square foot New York City apartment where I had my shovel?
Let me guess. No, I don't.
Under my bed. That's where I kept my shovel. Because, I parked on the street with my car, so I had to shovel. I had to dig myself out.
Wow.
Those days are over for me.
I mean, John has gone from 500 square feet to a mansion. You know, that's even 1,000 to you is double the size. That's pretty good. So
I got a bad feeling.
Here we go. Charlie!
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in that.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Did he hang up?
Charlie.
We scared him off.
Of course we did. Of course we did. Charlie's going to open his flip phone and call us back, I'm sure. He'll be back.
Get back onto that landline?
Yeah.
See, now Charlie likes to, get emotional with us, and he likes to be coy, but now he's back with us. So, hi, Charlie, what happened? Did you go into a dead zone?
Do you have a satellite phone up there in Maine?
Yeah, my phone just dropped. Actually, I just wanted you to play the music twice.
Sorry, you aren't getting that, pal. How's it going, Chuck?
Hi, good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
Hey, I got to bring this up, this thing about the offensive line. I just want to just say something about Emmett Clearly and about Fluker. It is just unbelievable to me that this guy's on our practice squad, and we cut him, so we don't think this guy can play. And then 3 months later, he's penciled in, released right now, as a starting left guard for the Dallas Cowboys, who has one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Well, Charlie, remember this. Remember this, Charlie. The Cowboys basically this offseason, a couple notes. They lost their starting left guard in Ronald Leary, and they moved their backup left guard, Lael Collins, out to right tackle. So then throw on top of that the guy who – and after you brought this up on Twitter or whatever it was the last couple weeks, I actually looked into the Cowboys' left guard situation. It was painful, but I did it. The third guy on their list after – Leary, who left, and Collins, who's now a right tackle, was a guy named Joe Looney. Joe Looney is hurt. So they're down to left guard number 4. And that's Emmett Cleary, who was a tackle here for the Giants, was on the Cowboys practice squad last year, if I'm not mistaken. And he is playing guard for the first time as a pro. So, needless to say, I think this isn't the Cowboys penciling Emmett Cleary in as a starter. This is the Cowboys that say, holy cow, we need somebody that breathes and has a pulse to go in there and play left guard with
the
first team.
And that's a Charlie and Maine we'll talk about on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Right?
Yeah.
How's my boy?
As a starter. And what's Fluka penciled in as right now? Second string right guard.
Let me tell you something, Charlie. If DJ Fluka was in Dallas, he would be a starting guard there too, by the way.
But he's not. He's here.
Well, I'm just saying, right at this point, yeah, that it all can change September 1st. You know, Cleary might not be the starting guy, but he is good enough to be on their squad. And look, our offensive line has got to be poor to fair. Theirs is good to great. So to me, it's just like we missed an opportunity. We had a player that actually could play, and we let this person go. Like, this guy couldn't have been our swing tackle or whatever. I'm just saying, we have a blind spot when it comes to offensive linemen, and I just don't get it.
Charlie, you want to make another bet? You want to make another bet?
Huh? Right,
you're going to owe me a lobster dinner anyways. Because
no,
your boy
I'm
Anthony
not.
Dublois.
Pecky McHugh is going to be on the 53.
What's his name? Yeah, okay. All right. That's fine. I would be willing to bet you that if Emmett Cleary makes the Cowboys, which evidently you think he will, that he will not dress for the Cowboys for more than...
No, you know what? Just talk about week one. Will Emmett Cleary be in uniform week one against the Giants?
Are you asking me or Charlie?
I'm asking if both of you are willing to accept this wager.
Well, your answer is yes. My answer would be no, or that we wouldn't have a bet. So that's I'll take the bet.
All right, now, Charlie,
well,
besides the...
If he's in uniform, that means he's standing on the sideline or he's playing.
He has a uniform. Is he inactive or active on game day?
All right, he's got to be active.
Okay, here we go.
That's what
okay,
I thought.
We already have some lobsters going to Jeff. What other main delicacy goes well with Jeff's lobster? So we could do like a nice meal that we're planning here. What else can you send?
Nope, not butter.
Well,
I don't want butter.
No,
I want beer.
No, I'll send you a bottle of Vacchiano wine from the Vacchiano Vineyard.
Would that be like the Vacchiano that I know, Vacchiano, the beat writer?
Me.
Charlie's last name is Vacchiano as well, believe it or not.
Okay. Okay, fine.
Ralph.
That's good. Yeah, Ralph. Is he your brother?
No.
No. So
he's a cousin that doesn't accept me as a cousin.
Oh, sure.
And by the way, those are all of Charlie's cousins, by the way. Just
you know why?
FYI.
You know why? Because you call Ralph all the time and ask him to write articles on offensive linemen every week. That doesn't work.
No. He never writes anything about
it. Of course
them.
He doesn't.
But I will send you a bottle of that wine along with a lobster.
Okay.
If I lose these bets. But if I don't. What are you going to give me?
Oh, that's a good question.
We already have that. We're going to come down, and we're going to let you on our show one day.
Well, no, but that's the bet for Doble.
Well, you have to buy me lunch.
What's the bet for Cleary?
I'll bet for the bet for Cleary. Well, you don't make it down here very often, so obviously I'm going to have to send you something, right? Is that probably what's going
to
go?
No, I'm coming down to be your partner, so you can buy me lunch that day.
Whoa,
fired? Hold on.
Now, you know what? If I was to ask somebody that calls into the show or listens to the show all the time, I wonder what the percentage would be that I'm going to win both these bets or one of them. And I would tell you that I have a better chance of winning the first bet than I do the second one.
And by the way, Charlie.
And by the way, a lobster dinner to me is worth way more than a bottle of Vacchiano wine from Maine. Trust me.
It's not. Actually, it's from Italy.
Well, that's fine, too. I'm going to win both of them. It's going to be great. I'm going to have my lobster with my wine. It's going to be great.
Charlie, we appreciate the call, my friend.
Charlie,
right,
have
man.
A great
Take
weekend,
care.
My
have
friend.
A good
it's
weekend.
Always fun for
Thanks,
talking
buddy.
To you.
201-939.
Even though you don't make sense, it's always a good time talking to you. Actually, he does. He does make sense sometimes.
No, Charlie
20%.
Often makes sense. He just gets very upset about these fringe guys that, in the end, aren't going to mean anything.
And it's so funny how somebody has such an infatuation with offensive linemen.
No, look, there's no. I mean, look, if you look at the big question marks on the roster, the offensive line is at the top of the list. We know
well,
that.
It just
I mean, it makes
seems
sense.
Like Charlie's been talking about offensive linemen for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. Seems that way. Let's
oh,
go to
and receivers from France, wherever he's from.
Let's see. You're right. He's from France. Let's go to Mark in Chicago. He's up next. Hi, Mark.
Mark from Chi-Town. Hey. What's up, bud?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Doing great,
hey,
Mark. How are you?
Good show.
Thank you.
You always enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You know, your initial conversation in the show about how we hate certain opponents or they hate certain Giants, I want to put a different twist on it. And who are the Giants players that Giants fans dislike. And at the top of my list,
okay, because you're going to have to answer this, because John and I cannot answer this. So
okay, I would say Tiki Barber because of his criticism of Coughlin and
not
Eli. It's just over the years that fans dislike Tiki. So
I don't know
if you can discuss it or not, but
I think we can a little bit.
I think you're absolutely right. He's at the top of the list. And the amazing thing is, I mean, in all honesty, and I'm not like trying to be hyperbolic here, but he's the best running back in team history.
And the thing about it is that when does that hatred start? I hate to use the word hatred, but I mean, it started after that Carolina game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think also announcing the retirement midseason in his final year, I think rubs some people the wrong way too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing about Tiki that sort of ticks me off, I think if he had hung around another season or two, because he definitely was good enough, he could have been Hall of Fame, potentially.
He could have been,
over 10,000 yards, you know?
No, absolutely. Well, and if you look at his total yards, especially, Mark, with his receiving yards, and his yards from scrimmage, I mean, and honestly, all joking aside, everyone loves Jerome Bettis. He's an affable guy. I think he was a first ballot Hall of Fame or a second-year guy. I think Tiki Barber was a better player.
Yeah,
I honestly do.
Yeah, and
as soon as
he recovered from the fumbling problem, he was such an effective ball player.
Well, I will tell you this: as far as effective, absolutely. And I tell you, one thing about Tiki Barber, it was 100% on the field every game. You know, he went out there and balled, and he played.
Yeah, if you took all the off, if he never said anything, if Tiki Barber was mute, he would be a beloved Giant.
Mm-hmm.
If you just talked about what he did on the field.
Absolutely. There's no question.
And it's not even misbehavior. It's just,
talk.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the problem, if you will, there is that when you had Michael Strahan on the same team, those guys wanted the spotlight a little bit more than each other. And I think that's what – I don't think that Tiki could compete with Strahan, which he probably thought he could. I saw it. I was in the locker room. I saw it every day. Mm-hmm. It was just very, very – tough for those two guys to coexist. They did as teammates. And, really, I look back and if you think about Tiki Barber and what he could have done for us in 2007, that, even though we won the Super Bowl that year, he could have, he could have had a ring. It would have been great for him.
Yeah, I agree. The thing that just ticks me is the criticism of Coughlin after what Coughlin did to really help him turn his career around with the fumbling issue. It just seemed he was very disingenuous. So, anyway, I wanted to move over to the CBA a little bit.
Okay.
And, the thing that you guys said that sort of irks me is how we don't know until August that somebody is going to be effective, and especially when we're going to this 90-person roster and no cutdowns. I would like to see that we – and the fact that nobody can get coaching from their position coach, like a line coach, until they get to OTAs and training camp, to me is ludicrous. I mean, that's like me as a salesperson not getting coaching from my boss on a regular basis.
Or you selling something that you don't have anything until August. I tell you about this great product I have, but you can't see it until August.
Now, remember, I was talking specifically, Mark, about the offensive and defensive lines because there's no contact allowed. So I think the other positions, you get a better idea.
Yeah.
But and again, like Jeff said, I think the coaches obviously get a much better feel looking at the practice film technique-wise than I do. I'll when I get to training camp, I'm going to know if an offensive line's playing well based on whether or not he can stay in front of the defensive line he's going against in one-on-one drills.
Right.
I'm not paying attention to foot and hand placement. I'm not an
You're
expert
not.
That way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the coaches do. So I think they probably have a much better feel for this stuff than I do watching.
And, real quickly, Mark, like I said before, the real motive here is to get the team together, get, work. The other thing is to develop in some of these younger guys because they don't get enough time. And I'm going to segue. So the CBA, you're talking about the CBA. The players did this to themselves, okay? They did it because back when before you had these rules, and I was there seeing it, the guys were – this was a borderline training camp practice when they had these things. Guys were getting hurt. They were – it was full-on 9-on-7 without pads, one-on-one drills out there.
Wait, you guys did no pads 9-on-7?
No, I'm saying it was like that.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So, but the coaches – they didn't care about the players. They just put them through these drills. The players did what they had to do. But eventually the players finally said, listen, guys, this is too much.
Right.
We're getting guys hurt. And it's not that they don't want to do it. It's just a propensity for them to get injured and then get cut. So that's why they have to do it. So, you know, it's a catch-22. You would love to have to see it, but on the other hand, you're probably going to have a lot more injuries if you did.
Hey, Jeff, back in the day, did you actually have contact in minicamp?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. They didn't have OTAs back then. When OTAs were developed, okay, they had mini camps, and you had rookie camp and you had mini camp, okay, and then they had off season program.
Well, they developed the OTA though because they cut training camp short, right?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly what happened. And the other part about it was that because there were no rules, when the guys were here for the off season conditioning program, they had on the field work. And that on-the-field work wasn't filmed. It wasn't monitored. Guess what they were doing out there? They were doing one-on-one pass drills. They were doing stuff like that. So the players are like, we're in here busting our butts in the weight room.
It's basically
and doing
practice.
And we're basically practicing. And what are we doing? This is not fair. You know. So, and believe me, NFL coaches, they will push it to the limit. They will get out every second that they can to teach. And they do it well. But it comes to a point where it becomes – diminishing returns, really, that's what it is. And it's tough on the players, and that's why now the OTAs are definitely monitored. There's only so many hours you can be on the field, that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Mark. We got to run,
Mark.
Pal.
Yeah, thank great you, call. Thank okay. you. Appreciate that.
You know, it's funny. You know, he mentioned Tiki, and I'll be quick on this. I find it funny that when they show up at the stadium, you know, Tiki still gets booed. I'm surprised that Burris seems to get a better reaction than Tiki does.
Well,
to me, what he did to affect a specific season was way worse than anything Tiki ever did.
But the thing about it is that Plaxico Burress caught the winning touchdown to win Super Bowl 42.
And I think he was also probably more contrite about it, too.
Yeah.
I think people are willing to forgive you if you do something wrong and you own up and you apologize
There's
for
no
it.
There's no question. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Listen, you tell your kids that all the time. You know, listen, if you did something wrong, apologize for it and we move on. But, you know, if you want to be a jerk about it and go through and not do that, then, you know, we got problems. And I think you're right. I think that if with Plaxico, it was a little bit more contrite. I think that that's probably the truth.
Let's go to Jerry in Dallas. He wants to talk about rivals, and he'll probably have a good feel for this being in Dallas. And I'm assuming he's a Giant fan. What's up, Jerry? How are you?
Well, I'm not a good morning to you, first of all, and I'm not a New York Football Giants fan. I'm here in my Death Star in my stadium.
Nice.
And I just wondered how you didn't mention that guy from Dallas that you know, well, let's go home and put his tickets on people's seats.
He's got the same name as you, I think, right?
I think that's the game he's trying to play.
Down here, just because I'm listening to a Giants game, it's not because I'm trying to pick up pointers on how to win a playoff game. I'm waiting for Zach to pick me up where we're late. I'm trying to find Zeke. He's in a car somewhere here. I don't know
where. Is this Tino?
Thanks for the call, Jerry. Good stuff. Yeah.
Good morning.
Appreciate it. Good morning to you as well. That was clever. That was pretty good.
That was good. I didn't pick
up on
you. It took me a second to
figure it out.
That was pretty
good.
Listen, and I'm a little bit short on sarcasm sometimes, so that was good.
And by the way, there are not a lot of owners in this league that are villains. Jerry's a villain.
Jerry is a villain.
And he's, you know.
And part of me, why I don't like the Cowboys is because of him. Seriously.
What about him rubs you the wrong way?
I just think his flamboyancy. I don't like the way he comes across as, you know. His success is pretty good.
Oh yeah, it can't be argued with.
As far as, you know, and I go back to even looking when the league was with Coke and he went with Pepsi, you know, in his own stadium. Things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, all the marketing things that the league like tried to get to stop him from doing.
Sure.
Everybody's doing it now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's remarkable from that standpoint.
Even in Dallas, think about it, he comes in there, he fires Tom Landry.
He was
in a villain in Dallas for a little bit before he started winning. Heck, he's a villain still now to a lot of people down there, I think.
And I guess, you know, I guess he's a good guy. I mean, I don't know him. We just know who he is. I mean, I asked Jason Garrett one time. I saw him, and I asked him about Jerry, and he said, listen, Jeff, the guy can't be a nicer man in the world. I'm telling you, he's a good guy. But he's just – I think people don't like him just because he's a Cowboy. I mean, that's me. I cannot stand the Cowboys. I will admit to you, John, you know that. So, and the other thing is that it's funny because
you're a
when
Giant
I was,
and you're a Cardinal.
But because when I was growing up, I was a Cowboy fan. I loved
is that
the
true?
Cowboys.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because we were in Arizona. We didn't have a team.
So, that's right. The Cardinals were
and my
not
favorite
there
player
yet.
Was
right,
my favorite
Louis.
Player was Danny White because Danny White went to Arizona State that's University.
Right. Oh, so you must not like Carl Banks very much then.
No, I
Risto
never.
Of White.
I mean, I don't really. I don't remember Carl Banks then when I was. Okay. You know, but the fact is that I just love the Cowboys. I love Danny White because he punted too. You know, he's a quarterback and then he dropped back. And he punted.
Oh, I forgot that he punted
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So
that
you know that's kind of why I like the Cowboys. But then of course once I got into the NFL, you became
of course.
And, yeah.
That's part of the game. Final call of the show. Let's go to Ralph in Arizona. Ralphie, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, dude. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a longtime Giants fan. I'm just worrying about this upcoming season. I just wanted to talk about the middle linebacker, that guy Hodges that we brought in. So what's the update on him? And, of course, offensive line. And then I just want to talk about Jabbar, a guy from Clemson, the safety. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you guys talk about
yeah,
Gerald, what you think.
Gerald Hodges signed with the Bills. So
he's gone.
He's with Buffalo, just FYI.
Okay.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
That's why we don't know much about him anymore.
Okay. So what about the offensive line? Like, you know, Flowers, I mean, I don't know. What's going on? Like.
I think we've tried to address this the whole offseason. Bottom line, you and Giants fans, is that you have to be patient with Ereck Flowers. He's going to be the left tackle this year. The Giants are going to give him every chance to succeed. I mean, he's been, I guess, you know, doing a lot more in the offseason. They're banking on him getting better. A year more of maturity, a year more older, whatever you want to call it. That's it.
Yeah, what about that kid from Tennessee State, Duncan? Like, Duncan?
Look, he's a young guy. He could develop into something, but he's not somebody that you're going to put in there in year number one and put Eli Manning's life on the line.
Listen, I think it's very easy to pick the offensive line, the five starters next year going into it, with very good certainty that you would be, you know, if I gave you 10 chances to get 10 of them, it's going to be that. It's going to be Flowers, it's going to be Pugh, it's going to be Richburg, and then that it's going to be the right guard and the right tackle, the two caveats. But I think going into it, I got to see. I think it's going to be Fluker,
mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And I think it's going to be Bobby Hart. There you go. So that's a little crackle in your voice there. Okay, listen. Now segue to you talked about the middle linebacking position. A lot of good things coming out of OTAs with B.J. Goodson.
He's getting a lot of opportunities. Yeah. He's getting a lot of opportunities, and he's moving around pretty well.
So okay. I think they're liking what they're seeing there. I think that last year towards the last quarter of the season, I think they like what they saw him on special teams and some of the packages that he was in. But there's not a lot of room on that defense when you think about it other than linebackers. I mean, that's probably
right.
the one
right.
position
because,
that's
yeah,
been vacated.
I think the defensive line we solid, and the cornerbacks and safeties, you know, we pretty much good. But as far as the linebacker position, it's kind of like, you know, iffy there. But
you know, maybe John can answer the question about the safety from Clemson. Obviously, he comes with you know.
Yeah, Jadar Johnson, Jadar,
I mean,
Jadar.
There's a reason why he wasn't drafted.
Jadar, I think. He was a guy that people thought, and Ralph, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. He's a guy that I think people thought would get drafted. Like I saw a fifth or sixth round grade on him from some people. He played there a lot. I think he's a guy that could, you know, compete for the final safety spot if they keep four, or he could be a very good practice squad candidate.
And of course, they just signed. I can't pronounce his name from Washington, the safety.
Oh, Duke Iheanacho.
There you go. You see how I asked you to say that?
It's not that bad.
Duke Iheanacho.
There you go.
How about Iheanacho? That's how I'm going to remember that one.
That's perfect.
Duke Iheanacho. Very good. Wait till I see
whatever to make
that.
It easier for Jeff Fegels.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fegels?
I don't have a great memory.
That's 22 true. NFL seasons.
Wow.
It's a long
hundreds
time.
Of players.
Beagle thousands.
With the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
No one.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
We
here's
do.
Your host.
That was just so... I have
Schmelt.
Been doing memory exercises.
No, you haven't. Do you have a pen now?
I don't need a pen.
So you forgot
yeah,
your
I
pen.
Got a pen is, over there's a pen right there. Time. We'll get a pen after I go 20. Oh, how about penmanship? Is that...
That's a 16. All right, so here we go. I got since we're this is the last thing we do before we wrap the show. I got three guys for you. Okay, are you ready?
Hold on, I have to go through my Zen memory. Okay, yeah.
Did you play with Stevie Anderson?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What team did you play with Stevie Anderson? You get the Sharpie.
Damn it. I think that Stevie Anderson was on the Seahawks.
You win.
Nope. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no,
I hit the wrong button.
Down.
I hit the wrong button. Sorry.
Steve,
I hit the wrong
Cardinals?
Button. It was the Cardinals, yeah. Sorry.
Gosh, see, I was in the I
Stevie
was close,
Anderson played.
I was close in the era. 94 and then through 90 what was he? 92.
He was 95 96.
95 96. All right. Yeah, I was with the Cardinals then. Damn it, right. Stevie Anderson. Receiver? Safety.
He was a receiver. You're correct the yeah. first time. Yeah. Just throw positions down until you get it right. It's fine.
Damn it.
Did you play?
Where's the music? I usually go better with the music.
I only have the music with the open. I don't play the open again. Did you play with Wendell Gaines?
Yes.
Where did you play with Wendell Gaines?
Arizona.
Correct.
Nah, got that.
You got that one. Very
go.
Good. Do you remember
batting 500.
Do you remember what position Wendell Gaines played?
Defensive tackle or defensive end, wouldn't he?
He was a defensive end / tight end, it says here.
That's right.
He was 6'4", 293 pounds.
Yep.
He had, let's see, he had 14 catches for 117 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
That is the old. He only played 1 year, 1995. I didn't think you were going to get that. Finally.
Well, there's not many guys named Wendell.
That's true.
That you play.
It's 1 year, though, out of 20. I thought that would be
the
a tough
Wendell
one
game,
for you.
I do remember him.
Did you play with Jeremy Ross?
Jeremy Ross?
Ross. Did you play with Jeremy Ross?
Yes, I did.
You did not.
I
you
thought,
did not play
so,
with
so
Jeremy
not
Ross.
Only do I have to figure out if I play with the guy or not, I have to figure out your strategy going into the show.
Jeremy Ross is a current NFL player. He's played since 2012 with the Packers, the Lions, the Raiders, the Ravens, the Jets, and the
no
Cardinals.
No wonder I know the name. I just didn't realize that he wasn't my teammate at one point in time. Okay. All right, so I got two right. No, I got two wrong.
Yeah, 1-2 today.
So 23-18. All right, still going.
My goal is to get you back at 500 by the time we get to training camp. That's my goal.
Okay, folks. Well, listen, it's not easy, man. It's not easy. It's really not.
Jeff, good times, bud.
It's a great Friday show. Good okay. stuff, guys.
There we go.
John, hopefully you get some sleep.
Yeah, good luck with that. But I will head out to practice and try to see some cool stuff to write about. And enjoy. That'll be on Giants.com later on today. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Have a great weekend. I think the weather's supposed to be nice.
It should be. I'm
sure.
playing golf tomorrow morning. That's all
so
I care.
For Eagles' sake, I hope it is.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. It's on
bye,
Monday.
Guys.
That
yep.
too. All right. Bye.